And next up, we have Tommy Leonard. He is the executive director with Keep Paulding Beautiful. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here today.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about Paulding County?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself first to kind of bring you up on it. Me and my wife have lived in Dallas for the last 18 years, and we have two grown sons and three precious granddaughters. And I have the privilege of serving as serving our citizens. Paulding County as the recycling coordinator and executive director of Keep Paulding Beautiful. I've been employed with Paulding County Board of Commissioners for 7 years now. I received my landfill operator certification from the University of Georgia in 2006, my qualified recycling professional certification from the Carolina Recyclers Association in 2008, and I serve on the board of directors for three not-for-profit boards that serve our community. Keep Paulding Beautiful, we actually received our accreditation certification in 2003. We're an organization of all volunteers from throughout our county, and most of our board members are full-time employed people, but they give of themselves unselfishly and generously throughout the year to help us improve the quality of life for the citizens of Paulding County. And we host events throughout the year that have a positive impact on our community. The vision of our board is to create an atmosphere that inspires our citizens to care for their environment in a way that impacts future generations. And our desire is to work with our citizens and local businesses to promote a clean and healthy environment in which we can work, live, and play.
Well, that's wonderful. You sound very dedicated to the environmental cause. That's great. Well, let me ask you about the other counties' clean and beautiful organizations. Okay. Do y'all get together to discuss best practices?
Yes, we do. Actually, Keep Paulding Beautiful, we're an affiliate of Keep Georgia Beautiful, which is an affiliate of Keep America Beautiful. But Keep Georgia Beautiful, they offer us two conferences a year called our Spring and Winter Conferences. And that's where all of the executive directors throughout the state, we meet for 2 or 3 days to discuss programs that are currently working well for the other counties and to share our knowledge with new directors. Often these sessions include topics such as waste reductions, sustainability, recycling, and how to operate our affiliates under lean economic times, which we're all experiencing right now. And there's a wealth of knowledge shared at these conferences, and we all try to work together to help each other. Some of these executive directors actually have 10 years or plus as an executive director of a Georgia Beautiful affiliate.
So how does it trickle down from, you know, your work conceptually of learning about all this stuff to how it impacts an actual Paulding citizen?
Well, the benefits that I get from Keep Georgia Beautiful is they offer me training and education, continuing
right.
education. They bring us up to speed on current markets, new techniques, and things like that, where we're able to, in turn, take it back, and I can teach my board, and then my board can implement it throughout the county.
But then how, like, say I live in Paulding County, how is that impacting me as somebody who just lives there? Are you doing things for me specifically?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things we do, we have a large group of volunteers that go out constantly throughout the year. One of our biggest events is actually called the Great American Cleanup. It starts on April the 1st and runs to the last day of May. During that time, we'll host events such as the Silver Comet Trail Cleanup, stream cleanups, roadways, tons of illegal dumps, tire cleanups, and things like that. So we feel like if we're out improving the quality of life for you, it definitely has an impact
right.
on
so
you.
So you're
your family.
Going out to like groups like Boy Scouts and schools and stuff and getting them to volunteer and to contribute during these times?
Absolutely. But the backbone, the majority of our volunteers come from civic groups and churches.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me ask you, kind of keeping with that vein, that what are some tips for the listeners that want to be good stewards of the earth?
I'm glad you asked that. we live in a country that has been absolutely blessed with wealth and natural resources. You know, we can walk into a room that's in complete darkness. We can flip a switch and the light comes on. We can go to any grocery store in our community and purchase anything that we can afford and pretty much, you know, walk away. We can pull up to a gas pump and fill up our automobiles and drive away to enjoy life's pleasures. And when we're finished with the things that bring us comfort and pleasure, we can simply dispose of them by throwing them away. We can get a new one. We seldom think of the effects that each of us have on our environment by our wasteful habits and to that, you know, the way they affect future generations. And today I would like to offer just a few simple suggestions to help all of us in our everyday lives as stewards of what we've been blessed with. One of them, whenever you buy a disposable item or products and, you know, you get with a lot of excess packaging with it, and you're essentially buying trash. And every year, the average American produces around 1,600 pounds of trash, most of which goes into the landfills. And although we're doing a better job now on recycling, there's even a more effective way to cut down on waste, and simply stated is just to prevent it. And since consuming and throwing away less actually prevents the generation of waste in the first place, it's the most preferable method of waste management and goes a long way toward protecting the environment. When you use less and reuse more, you're helping both the upstream environment, what we mean by that, that's where the products are made and transported, as well as the downstream environment, and that's where the products are disposed of. By not creating waste in the first place in the form of disposable products or unnecessary packaging, we don't just avoid having to send them to the landfill, we also avoid expending energy, the consuming of our natural resources, and creating the pollution that comes from making them in the first place. On average, it's estimated for every $10 you spend on a product, a dollar of it is for packaging, and most of that packaging goes right into the waste stream. Here are just a couple of simple tips we'd like to do. When you should choose products that have the least packaging, and if possible, if you could buy whole fruits and vegetables to avoid the unnecessary trays and wraps. Buy the larger economy size or in bulk if possible. And when buying an item or two, say no thanks to our enemy, the plastic bag. And I hope I don't make anybody from Plastic Council mad about that. And ask yourself a few questions before you buy something. Do I really need it? Could I borrow it from a friend or a neighbor? Do I have something that could do the same job? And one big one is remove yourself from an unwanted mailing list. Around 41 pounds of junk mail pour into every mailbox every year. We also recommend that you use durable items such as reusable cups and plates and utensils, cloth napkins and dishcloths. Avoid styrofoam when possible. And look for products that are available in refillable packages and reuse jars and boxes. Bring your own shopping bags to the store if you'd like to do that. But we know that economic savings and environmental benefits often go hand in hand. When you practice waste reduction, you and your city or county can save the cost of waste collection and disposal. And there's a way we can reduce that amount of solid waste from entering the landfill, and that primary way is to recycle.
So I would guess that overpackaging is a personal pet peeve.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, plastics some of the plastics, like your plastic number one and two, your plastic one, the PET, we can take and recycle this and make it back into household carpet. There are a lot of plastics that are actually numbered 1 through 7 and 1 called other. Right now, I only have vendors for 1 and 2, so the 3s through 7s in that other, they're winding up in the landfills on a lot of occasions.
So they're not recyclable.
They are recyclable. Everything is recyclable. You just have to have a vendor for them, somebody willing to purchase those.
Gotcha. Yeah, that is part of the cycle, isn't it?
Yes.
It's great to recycle, but there's got to be an end user.
There has to be a market for it.
Well, tell me some of the victories and some of the challenges of running your organization.
Well, I'm really proud of what Keep Paulding Beautiful has accomplished this year and actually in the years past. You know, we've been able to teach hundreds of our students and young adults about environmental stewardship. We've cleaned several roadways, illegal dump sites, walking trails, streams. And last year, we actually cleaned the largest cemetery that we have in Paulding County. We've as well as hosting electronic recycling events throughout the year, and all of this was accomplished once again by our wonderful volunteers. Now, last year, the Paulding County Recycling Division, we received from our government departments, our citizens, and businesses over 1,208 tons of recyclable material that was bound for our landfill if our program hadn't been in place. We took those 1,208 tons of material, we sold them, and we brought back $71,917 back to our general operating fund. There was also a savings to the Paulding County citizens by diverting this material from our solid waste stream that came to a value of over $48,000. So that gave us a net total off of our recycling division over $120,000. And this was accomplished by two full-timers and one part-timer, and that was during a sluggish economy, to say the least.
Wow.
The number one challenge in trying to for us in my operation is trying to find the best possible way to serve our citizens on a limited budget, especially during, you know, these difficult economic times. There was been a lot of belt tightening in the last 3 years, and we weren't exempt from the budget cuts. But with the help of some local businesses, we're still moving forward. And we have a little saying that we like to joke about, and we say it. It goes like this. It says that we've done so much for so long with so little that we can accomplish almost anything with nothing.
Now, when you were going around and you were, picking up the trash and finding things to recycle, like at the cemetery and different places, mm-hmm. Did you run across anything you're like, I can't believe somebody threw this away? Any, like, weird items or funny things?
Well, it's amazing. On a lot of our litter pickups, we find homemade bongs, a lot of drug paraphernalia.
But is it like, I did a thing with the Chattahoochee River, and I know they pulled up like kitchen sinks and like these things, like you go, somebody dragged this out to the river to dump this in here.
That's right.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, just two Saturdays ago, we had a cleanup Hiram day down downtown Hiram, one of our cities in Paulding County. We had volunteers came out. We got 65 bags of garbage and 18 tires, but we also retrieved about 5 shopping carts from a stream, and one we had to leave buried, unfortunately. We tried to pull it out by truck and couldn't get it out. It was so far down in the ground.
It seems like people go out of their way to dump something in a place where it's just as easy just to take it back to where they found it.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things, you know, when you walk it, or when you ever pull into a parking lot of a grocery store, if you just get, you know, when you, if you have a second, look down on the ground, you're going to see cigarette butts, all kinds of litter, McDonald's wrappers or you know, whatever, food vendor wrappers, dirty diapers. You know, right when you're walking into the store, there's receptacles. You can put the trash in there. People have gotten lazy
they're
by
so
nature.
Lazy.
I've actually seen people just, like, throw entire McDonald's bags out the window. I'm like, really? No, don't do that.
It happens all the time. And the thing that people don't realize is in our Marshals Bureau right now is very aggressive on writing tickets for litter, including cigarette butts. You can get a $300 fine for flicking a cigarette butt out
really?
Right now. So we're real happy that they're starting to enforce those things. People need to remember that the driver is responsible for all contents in that car. If your child throws a popsicle stick out, the driver is still responsible for it. If it's a Coke bottle, a Coke can, or whatever, the driver is responsible for it, and they will be ticketed in Paulding County for that.
Well, I would say that's my pet peeve. I don't like people littering.
Littering,
I've actually called the police before.
I'm
one of those McDonald bag people, and they just sort of laughed at me. I was like, citizen's arrest.
That's right.
All right. So, I'm just going to jump. I want to know, tell me all the different cities that comprise Paulding County.
Okay, we actually have three cities. They are Braswell, Hiram, and Dallas. Dallas and Hiram, we're closer than Braswell. They're actually located on the Polk County side, and they don't do a whole lot with us.
Okay, gotcha. Well, it sounds like with the challenges that y'all are having, that maybe you and John with Waste Pro should talk.
I was loving hearing what John has to say. It's great to be among people that get it, so to speak. And he brought up some great points.
Well, you can tell you're very passionate, and their Paulding is lucky to have somebody like you involved with their, you know, you're making a difference.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. So what makes Paulding County a special place to live?
I could not wait to tell you. We actually moved, myself and my wife moved to Paulding County back in 1993. And back then we had a population of just over 60,000 people. Now, 18 years later, we have 142,000 citizens in our county, but it still has a feel of a small community, and our people are really what makes it a great place to live. We're a certified Georgia work-ready community. We have the newest airport in the state of Georgia. It's situated on 650 acres of land and has an additional 110 acres adjacent to it that is set up for commercial industrial land. And it's only 30 miles from downtown Atlanta. In just a couple of years, we're going to have a new state-of-the-art LEED silver-certified WellStar Hospital. And what LEED means is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. And it's going to replace our current facility that's over 50 years old. We have a large portion of our county where the Civil War battles were fought. We have a great long stretch of the Silver Comet Trail that runs through our county for our citizens and other citizens. We have people from Alabama, Tennessee, and all over that come use this this path to walk and run and bike for recreation. We now have 3 college campuses that include Kennesaw State. Yes, Chattahoochee Technical College and Georgia Highlands. And these campuses give our citizens a chance to stay in the county to continue their education if they choose to do so. Even with all this growth, we still have the spirit of giving when a neighbor's in need, and many people work behind the scenes to make Paulding County such a special place.
Well, it sounds like it certainly is. It's certainly grown a lot since I was growing up here.
Yeah, when we first moved there, my sons always said, "Dad, does everybody know you?" And I said, "No, son, why?" He goes, "Everybody waves when they drive by." And it has changed a little bit on that side.
That's funny. I wave at everybody, too. I'm a waver. So what are your goals for the future of Paulding County as far as going green?
Okay. Well, you know, there's a term that's been tossed around a lot lately, and it's called sustainability. And when we use it on our side of this perspective, it just simply means using only the natural resources that we need to get by so that other generations will have these same resources. Now, my personal goal is to educate our citizens on sustainability and develop ways for our county and local businesses to find solutions that will help us conserve energy and our other natural resources so that we have as little negative impact on the environment as possible. Another goal is to educate every third grader in our public school system about taking care of the environment. We do this by visiting our elementary schools using a platform that's called Enviroscape, and it simulates the effects of pollution on our streams and rivers and our watersheds. I actually had the chance to teach about 1,200 of them at one time, 1,200 of our third graders and many of our AP students in the in our high schools. And I realize, you know, it's kind of hard for a lot of people to drive to a recycling center, but we really need to ask ourselves a question. And will our children or my grandchildren be able to enjoy all of the conveniences that we've enjoyed during our lifetime if we don't make a difference today and accept responsibility as a good steward of what we've been given? I'll leave you with this. I once heard this said many years ago, and I've always told this to every group that I've been able to speak to, and it just simply says that we can accomplish more through volunteerism than we could ever hope to accomplish through bureaucracy. We can't depend on the government to solve all of our ills, and I believe we have many people all over the state that have great ideas and solutions to solve some of the most basic problems, but they don't want to get involved. And I would like to say to these people, get off the sidelines and get in the game. Just give a little of your time and make a difference and change things around you.
That's great advice. And you could even start with the sustainability part where you're talking about, Do you really need that? I have a thing that I do that maybe might be a good tip for you is when I'm looking at buying something, I always want to get what I want to get, right? Everybody does. Yeah. So a lot of times I know I don't really need that, but I want it. So what I do is I say, okay, you can have it. You just got to come back and get it tomorrow. Yeah. And so then, of course, you forget about it as soon as you walk outside the store. And you know. Yeah. And then if I do go back, then it was worthwhile, worth waiting for. So that kind of helps with my personal consumption habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that John had said, too, though, it's not a recycled product till it is back on the shelf. You know, you can take an aluminum can and bring it to me, and if I get it to my processor, you know, within a couple of weeks, it's a new aluminum can. But we've got to get it to us or get it to John or somebody that's got a MRF or a recycling center. Just don't discard it and throw it away or leave it on the side of the road. We can make new stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's just the balancing act between revenue and cost, right?
That's right.
But it can be done, and it seems like there's more and more opportunities to incorporate different waste streams. I mean, I've seen clothes made out of recycled goods, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, thank you so much for being a guest today. I just love your passion, and it's evident that you love being a part of keep Paulding beautiful, and you're an important piece of that. So thank you again for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here today.
Guess what, Georgia? Recycling just got easier thanks to the team at Waste Pro. Whether it's tossing items into your curbside container at home, being environmentally friendly at the workplace, or properly disposing of your recyclables while at local events, Waste Pro can serve all your recycling collection and processing needs. Waste Pro also provides residential and commercial solid waste collection, processing, and disposal. Waste Pro cares for the communities we serve and truly are the waste professionals. Call us in Athens at 706-227-3222 or in Atlanta at 770-777-1447. And also, Sandler Commercial. Taking sales performance levels to new heights is what Sandler Training, powered by Simon, Inc., does for its clients. Typically, organizations engage Simon when they want to address up to 4 performance areas: more sales revenue, shorter selling cycles, better gross profit margins, or fatter prospect pipelines. Using a powerful combination of training and coaching, Simon has programs for sales, sales management, and customer service personnel.